Father, thank you so much again just for this group of women and this time that we can come and worship you and fellowship together. We pray that as we get into your word, that you speak to each and every one of us. Speak to our hearts and show us maybe where we can grow in our faith of you. We are so grateful for the things that you've done for us and for everything that you are currently doing. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So it's really fitting that we sung the song, Mary, Did You Know? Today. That was not planned. I did not know Adriana had that on her heart to sing. So it's really fitting because today we will be talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We will be in Luke 1, verses 26 through 56. And as we all just sung in the song, Mary, Did You Know? A lot of different aspects of Jesus' ministry were listed off, kind of in a question to Mary. Mary, did you know that Jesus was going to do this? Mary, did you know this? Did you know that? And I'll be honest with you. I really like this song, but as somebody who's on the hindsight, who's on the end of it, I kind of listened to that song, and my first reaction is, well, yeah, Mary knew. That's the Son of God. Like, she had to know. But when I take a step further in reflection, I realize I know those things because I have the word and I have scripture. But did Mary really know about these unknown callings that God had placed on her life? Did she really know what that meant for her life in the immediate and in the future? And did she really know what Christ was going to accomplish? She knew she was giving birth to the Son of God, but did she know everything that that entailed? And so it took this incredible faith for Mary to fulfill this calling that God had on her life. And we see that Mary is not only the humble mother of Jesus, but for us here, she is a wonderful example of faith. Let's look first at Mary's calling in Luke 1, 26 through 37. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered her and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So in these first two verses, verses 26 and 27, we are given a little bit of history on Mary. And the first thing that we see is that this birth announcement is taking place in the city of Galilee named Nazareth. And this actually not only mirrors, you know, the humble nature of Christ's birth, but it also gives insight into Mary's social standing, because Galilee was not a respected region at the time. And it wasn't the expected location for God to kind of fulfill a promise or for somebody who was sent from God. So Mary comes from this place that's looked down upon. But even though she grew up in this region that wasn't highly respected, she had a personal sense of responsibility and integrity. And we see that because she grew up as a virgin and she's holding to these standards that God has placed upon her. So yes, she grew up in an area that wasn't as respected, but she respected herself. And the third thing that we see is that Mary was betrothed, she was engaged. And during this time period, when a couple is betrothed, when they are engaged, it's a really, really serious promise. They're actually under the obligations of faithfulness, and it's basically legal marriage for 1 year prior to them consummating the marriage and living together. So this promise that she has to Joseph is not a casual promise. She's engaged, she's committed. And so we can see that her history, of her social standing, her sexuality, this personal integrity that she had, and her relationship status, we can see these things in these first two verses. And then as we read on, we'll get this insight into the rest of the story based off of this history that we are given. In verses 28 through 37, we are kind of seeing how the conversation went down when Mary is chosen. And the first thing that we see in verse 28 is that she is highly favored. Mary is honored not because of her own merit or what she has done, but simply because God has chosen her. She does not have any outstanding credentials other than her availability and willingness to serve the Lord. And she comes from this humble place that's, you know, not really respected, this humble place for physically, but also as a heart, and she has this humility, and God saw that, and he blessed her with honor. In our life, we don't need to accomplish anything. We don't need to have money, have status. We don't need to live in this fancy place that's respected by the world. Because God sees us for who we are. He doesn't see us for our gifts, for our actions, for our talents, whatever. God sees everyone in this room as his daughter and as loved. And he wants to bless us. He wants to give us honor. And it is our responsibility to be at this place of humility to accept that and say, Lord, use me. Lord, I am yours. I know I don't have anything apart from you, so use me, God. So far, we've seen a little bit of her history. We see that Mary is chosen. But in verse 48, Mary's character of who she is really, really revealed. And that's in her response to this promise, which she says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." She is saying that she is God's servant, and she's going to allow him to work through her as he wills. He can place her in whatever difficult situation because she knows that God is with her. Mary is willing to risk her reputation, this integrity, and this personal responsibility that she has upheld her whole life. She is willing to risk that for God's promise. She's willing to risk her appearance. What are people going to say when they see her? Are they going to believe her story? What are they going to think of her? But she doesn't care. She's willing to risk that. She's willing to potentially risk her marriage. Her faithfulness to Joseph is going to be questioned. How can you have conceived a child without being with your husband or the one that you're betrothed to? How can this happen? And she's willing to take a step into the unknown. All of these things, she doesn't know what's going to happen. She doesn't necessarily know how the world is going to see her, but she's willing to risk it all for the Lord. We also should have this moral integrity and be quick to serve God, even when it is at great risk to our reputation. God is constantly calling us into the unknown, and it is each of our responsibility to serve him in a self-sacrificial way. We shouldn't care about what society is going to think of us for following the Lord. We shouldn't follow societal standards. Society is going to place these unrealistic expectations and standards on each and every one of us. And we don't need to follow those. What we need to follow is God's word and the calling that he has on each of our lives. And when he calls us into an unknown situation, and he will always call each and every one of us into an unknown situation, our response should be like Mary's. Let it be to me according to your will, Lord. Use me as you want. You know, I'm reminded of about a year and a half-ish ago when I left my job at a Bay Area tech company. I had felt this calling on the Lord, on my heart from the Lord for a while to leave my job and to become a stay-at-home mom, a stay-at-home wife, and to focus on ministry. And I was confident in that calling. And I said, yes, God, I know you're calling me to this. Just tell me when. And then he said, now. Now's the time, Morgan. And I'll be honest with you. I struggled with that. Though I knew his promise and his calling, and I was confident in that, following through was challenging. I thought, what are my coworkers gonna think? What's my boss gonna think? I've worked here for so long. I'm just back from maternity leave. What's she gonna think when I leave my job? What are my friends gonna think? What are those who I went to school going to think? What's the whole business world gonna think? I doubted for a second, how is it gonna work to be under my husband's salary solely? I knew that the Lord was gonna provide, but to lose that extra income was scary. How's that gonna happen? I doubted myself because, you know, being a stay-at-home mom and a stay-at-home wife and devoting yourself to the ministry calls you to be self-sacrificial. And I doubted, can I continually self-sacrifice for my family and for the ministry? Can I actually do that? And when I was struggling with those things, you know, it was tempting to be like, you know, I don't necessarily love my job, and I know what the Lord's calling me to do, but these things are scary, so I'm going to stay here. But taking that leap of faith into his calling was one of the best things that the Lord has done. Living out in his calling, regardless of the unknown and regardless of what people think of me. You know, I don't know what my coworkers think. I haven't spoken to them since I left. I don't know what people I went to school with think. I don't know what society thinks of me being a stay-at-home mom, but that doesn't matter because I know what God has called me to do, and I know that he sees me and he sees my value. And that's the same for each and every one of us. God is constantly calling us to serve him, to sacrifice for him. And it's our job to respond and to take action on that calling. Let's look in verses 39 through 56 at Mary's actions. It says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb with joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.' And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever.' And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house." The very first thing that we see here in verses 39 through 45 is a confirmation of God's promise. Mary goes to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth observes and confirms the signs that Mary was given in verse 36. Elizabeth provides this confirmation of the promise that God gave to Mary. God has done what he said he was going to do with Mary. And in our lives, God will always say what he is going to do. If he has made a promise to you, he will fulfill that. You know, maybe it won't be today, maybe it won't be immediate, but in his time, he is going to fulfill that promise. God is always going to follow through. And it's our job to not let the doubt, the insecurities cloud us, but to focus on the Lord and just wait wait for him to follow through, because he will. And he might send us confirmation of that promise through a trusted sister, through a friend. You know, his follow through might look different than we anticipated. But don't you worry. The promises that God has on your life, he will follow through. And we can praise him and rejoice in him for his faithfulness and for the way that he follows through. That's exactly what Mary does in verses 46 through 56. She breaks out into the song of praise. She rejoices in his favor and in the honor of having God actively involved in her life. Despite Mary's humble state, despite where she came from, despite what other people thought of her, God acted on her behalf. The God who sits in the heaven has shown concern to his lowly servant. And in the midst of all he does in creation, Mary was noticed. He saw her and he acted in her life. And as response to that, she is going to testify to God's care for her. She's going to testify about God's care for her just as he cares for others. God recognizes each and every one of you in this room. We don't need to be flashy. We don't need to be recognized by the world. We don't need to be the richest person in the room. We don't need to be seen special by societal standards. Because God sees you just as you are. Even when it feels like nobody in the world recognizes your worth or your gifts or your abilities, God does. He sees them. See, society values the material things. They value what you can provide for them. They value your money, how powerful you are, your social standing. But God doesn't. God values you as an individual. He doesn't care about how much money you're bringing in. He doesn't care about what society thinks about you, because that doesn't have a change to your worth. Your worth is not in those things. Your worth is as a daughter of God. And that is where your worth and your value comes from. And so our response when the Lord sees us and when he recognizes us, because he does, our response is to accept that and to testify of his care. If you are not a Christian here today, the Lord sees you. He loves you. And he values you. He sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. He sent his son for you to reconcile you with him, to be in relationship with him. And that was solely out of his love. And once you have a relationship with him and you accept the salvation, you're adopted into his family as his daughter. And you have immense worth in Christ. So if you've not accepted Christ today, that should be your response. Your first response is, yes, Lord, I want to be in relationship with you. I believe what Christ did. And for those of you who have accepted Christ, our response is to testify of his care, to recognize how he sees us and share that with others. Share the love that he has for them. Bring them in to the family. You see, God owed Mary nothing, but she received everything from him. God owes us nothing. Innately, we are sinful and we are against God. But with him, we are on his side. And that is everything. He gives us everything when he owes us nothing. Mary's story illustrates how God treats others and how his mercy extends to those who fear him. If you fear the Lord, if you're in relationship with the Lord, his mercy reaches to you and it touches you. And Mary's song of praise reveals God's character and his attributes, not as abstract expressions of holiness, of mercy, and of saving power, but in a concrete relationship to people and in the detailed workings of their lives. God is intentional with your lives and with the working of your lives. And he is there. It's tangible. And it's up to us to humble ourselves before him and accept his salvation. As we can see in Mary's song and in other parts of scripture, we see just how the Lord cares for those who trust him. By the way, he rescues the humble and he brings down the prideful. We just sit at his feet and accept the salvation that he brings for us. And we can have hope of God's mercy, and the way it's going to eventually express itself in this power in redemption and injustice. We have future hope in God's plan for the world and the justice that he will show. God will bring justice. He will. And we have hope in that. And we have hope in the work that Christ did on the cross for us and on what will come. We just need to rest in him, wait on him. You see, God is active and involved in the lives of his children. And we can see that in our lives and in the song that Mary has just given to him and the rejoicing that she has. Mary didn't know immediately what being the mother of God would entail. She didn't know what society would think. She didn't know what would happen. And she didn't know the long-term details of Christ's ministry. She didn't. At least, I think she didn't. I don't read and hear that God gave her that insight. So she probably didn't know. But what she did know was that God was calling her to this. And that he was going to bring honor from following the calling. You see, we are constantly called into the unknown. When God places the calling on our lives, we might not know the immediate effects of that calling. We might not know how our friends, our family, our coworkers, society is going to see us. Maybe we don't know financially how the calling he's placed on our life is going to happen. But what we do know is we know of the work that Christ did on the cross. We know that Christ died on the cross for us and rose again because of his love. We know that he has concern for each and every one of us, that he values us, and we can have hope in God's redemptive plan. So despite the unknowns in our immediate callings, we should be able to place it all on the line because we know the long-term plan that he has on our lives, that he has for the world. And we can place hope in that. So again, if you're a non-Christian here today, the immediate calling that he has for you is to humble yourself and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Accept the work that Christ did on the cross for you. And if you're a Christian here today, he is calling you into the unknown. I don't know what that looks like. You might not even know what that looks like right now. But I can promise you, God is calling you to do something. Maybe it sits a little uncomfortable. Maybe it makes you a little nervous. Maybe your stomach's in a little bit of knots. But he's calling you to something. And if you don't know what it is right now, I encourage you to wait on him and reflect on him. And when you receive that calling, your response should be, "Let it be to me, Lord. I am your servant." We look at Mary, and we look at this calling of being the mother of Christ and all the unknowns that it came. And if she could have this faith to follow the Lord when everything was unknown, how much more should we be able to have the faith to follow him too when we know the end plan? We know what waits at the end of this. Our response is, "Yes, Lord, I am yours." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the intentionality that you have on each of our lives, for the way that you look at us for who we are, not for what we can do. We thank you so much for the birth of Christ and for the work that he did on the cross. There's something so special about the Christmas season and about this time of reflection on Christ's birth. And as we reflected today on Mary and on the unknowns that she most likely faced with this birth, we pray that you help us boldly respond to your callings in faith just as she did. If you can keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a second longer, if you are here today and you have never accepted Christ for salvation, you've never taken that leap of faith and said, "Yes, Lord, I am yours. Take me into the unknown." I ask you to raise your hand. I would love to pray with you. For everybody else here who has accepted the Lord, who has Christ as their personal Savior and has a relationship with him, if you are struggling maybe accepting your identity as God's daughter and accepting the unknowns that he has in your life, accepting the calling that he has placed on you, whatever that might be, and you would like some encouragement, I would love to pray with you. So if any one of those things fits, I ask you to raise your hand. Amen, 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 amen. Yes, Lord, we pray for those who feel this stirring in their heart, Lord. We pray that you help them grow in their identity as your daughter, that you help them recognize that their worth does not come from what other people see, from what the world says, from what they can offer, but that their worth is in you. And we pray that you help them grow in their faith into the unknown. Help them see the callings that you have upon their life and take those steps even when it is uncertain. We thank you so much for this work that you've done on the cross and for the work that you've done in our lives. We thank you for the way that you see us. And we celebrate you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you for the good God that you are. And we celebrate Christ's birth here today and during this season. Thank you so much for bringing your son into the world to save us. We pray that you bless the rest of our evenings, bless our conversation, allow us to have fun and some really good fellowship. We love you so much, Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.